The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
You're very welcome back to The Last Word with me, Mario Rosenstock, standing in for Matt Cooper. Right, it's time for our weekly slot on US politics, one which I really love listening to Matt and the guys do every week. And as you are aware, Donald Trump sat down for a much publicised interview with Elon Musk on X last night. And we're going to take a couple of clips. This first clip is Elon Musk telling moderate voters that they should vote for the former president this November.
You know, I think a lot of people thought, you know, the Biden administration would be a moderate administration, but it's not. And obviously, we're just going to see an even further left administration with Kamala. That's my honest opinion. I mean, her dad is literally, she was brought up as an actual, her dad is a Marxist economist. That's, you can Google it. I mean, it's not a, we're not making this up, you know. That's how she was brought up. So, we want to have a future that is prosperous. And I think we're just at this critical juncture. I think this is a case of the America is kind of at a fork in the road. And
it's true.
And I think the path, like, you are the path to prosperity, and I think Kamala is the opposite. So this is to people out there who are in the moderate camp to say, I think you should support Donald Trump for president. I think it's actually a very important juncture in the road, and we're in deep trouble if it goes the other way.
And clearly that was Elon Musk. Here's the second clip. This is Donald Trump, former president, talking about his relationship with Vladimir Putin and Kim Jong-un.
People say, oh, this is terrible. He said, I'm not saying anything good or bad. They're at the top of their game. They're tough, they're smart, they're vicious, and they're going to protect their country, whether they love their country. They probably do. It's just a different form of love, but they're going to protect their country. But these are tough people at the top of their game. And when they see a Kamala or when they see a Biden, Sleepy Joe, they can't even believe it. They can't believe this happened, especially when you look at what's happened to our country. Our country is so bad right now. It's such a different place. We were respected. And again, I said to Vladimir Putin, I say, don't do it. You can't do it, Vladimir. You do it, it's going to be a bad day. You cannot do it. And I told him things that what I do. And he said, no way. And I said, way. And you know, it's the last time we ever had the conversation. I got along well with Kim Jong-un. When I met with President Obama just before entering, you know, it's a sort of a ritual. And I sat down with him and we talked. It was supposed to be for a very short period of time and turned out to be a long period of time. I said, what's the biggest problem? He said, North Korea. I had that problem worked out very quickly. It was nasty at the beginning with Rocket Man and, you know, all the different things.
Yeah. But
all of a sudden I got a call.
Those were some epic tweets, by the way.
Yeah, they were actually epic, everything. He said that he has a red button on his desk. I said, I have a red button on my desk too, but my red button is much bigger and my red button works.
And to discuss this and other US matters, I'm delighted to be joined by Cal Thomas, nationally syndicated columnist, and Larry Donnelly, law lecturer at University of Galway and political columnist with thejournal.ie. Welcome, gentlemen. Cal Thomas, I'll start with you. Cal, what did you make of it all?
I'm just shaking my head. But first, it's nice to have a true professional hosting today. Thank you very much for coming on. Now, I hope Matt is listening to this. No, I'm just kidding. No, look, this is, first of all, I think Trump needs, Musk needs some speech therapy. He was as bad as slurring his words and not really finishing sentences as Trump is sometimes. But we need a really serious interview. We're doing a really serious interview. I'm glad that Trump shows up for some of these things, but he's not really saying anything. What happened? Are you still there?
Yes.
You're still there. Holding a cat. Wait. I'm sorry. I've been having internet problems all day here. I'm blaming the Russians. This news conference he had last week, Trump did, in Mar-a-Lago, was so pathetic. Jerry Baker, who is a conservative writer, a columnist for the Wall Street Journal, has a column today that I think hits the nail on the head. He said, we can complain all we like that the coronation of Kamala Harris by deceitful Democrats and a compliant media is depriving voters of any understanding of what they're being asked to vote for in November, but we can't ignore the giant Republican problem either. None of us are in any doubt what we are being asked to vote for on the Republican ticket. And he says that's statements by Trump that are false, obtuse, or lunatic. And that's pretty strong.
Larry, what did you take of it, take from it, if anything? And, you know, was there any change in colour or tone from what, anything we've seen already?
No, Mario, I thought it was really, really odd. And it comes against the backdrop of a Donald Trump who's been flailing for weeks now. And whatever anyone thinks about Donald Trump, he used to project strength. I don't think he projects that anymore, either by his tone of voice or the content of what he says. I don't think that last night, even though the audience reach and a lot of people who love Trump are saying the audience reach was amazing, and I'm sure it was, but I'd say an awful lot of the audience came away saying, what was that? And Trump, you know, we made a lot of Trump's political strengths and how things, you know, roll off his back that would kill anybody else. But at the moment, he is just alienating every single voter that he needs to have in his corner if he's going to win the presidency, while at the same time, Kamala Harris and Tim Walz are enjoying an extraordinary bounce. And I think what must frustrate so many conservatives was that it didn't need to be this way. Even when Biden stepped aside, the Electoral College map still favored Donald Trump. The two biggest issues in this election, immigration and inflation, still favor Donald Trump. Yet he has lapsed into this, I don't really know how to describe it, he's been just plain awful for the past number of weeks. And as such, we see the polling data every single day. His numbers are slipping and slipping and slipping. And one wonders what he can do to reverse where things are at right now.
Cal, there's a question for the last 6 months I've been meaning to ask you, as I, you know, prefaced in my introduction here. This is my favourite item on The Last Word, the US politics, whether it's yourself and Marion, who's on holidays, or yourself and Larry. It's a wonderful item. But I've wanted to ask you a question for the last 6 months. And that is, you kind of mentioned there that Trump is slurring his words. Clearly he's in the grip of some form of cognitive decline, whether that's rapid or gradual. I mean, he is approaching 80 years of age. But the question I wanted to ask you is more along the lines of what George Conway, the Lincoln Project guy, has been getting to. And Cal, I just wanted to ask your opinion on this. Do you think that Donald Trump is a sociopath?
Well, by certain definitions, it would seem so. But look, about this pushing 80 years of age, I'm pushing 80 years of age, but it's from the other side. And I'm pretty articulate, I think. So people age, as we've talked about on the show, in different ways. I don't pay much attention to George Conway. He's been an anti-Trumper from the beginning. I think Larry and I try to be more balanced and reasonable in our criticism. And then once again, I turn to this wonderful Jerry Baker column today, and his conclusion is this: if things don't change with Trump, the ranks of those voters, meaning his base, won't be enough to outweigh others who simply can't face another 4 years of the Trump show and will back even a party hack concealing her real politics simply to escape it. I think that's profound. And I think a lot of people are going to say, look, we're concerned about the border, we're concerned about inflation, but we just don't trust Trump to be president for another 4 years. This is a horrible choice. I mean, I don't know a lot of people other than the people who are completely in the Trump or Harris camp who think this is a good choice. I wish we could push a button and start over again, but unfortunately we can't.
Larry, if it is a horrible choice, as Cal says, why are people so evidently and visibly energized and joyified, to make up a word, by this Kamala Harris appearance? I mean, there's no question, but the bounce is huge and real.
Absolutely. Well, there's no question that about half of the American people loathe Donald Trump. And those people were deeply, deeply dispirited by what was a horrific performance in the first debate by Joe Biden. And when somebody like Kamala Harris came on the scene to replace him, the bounce that she has gotten is extraordinary. And one of the things that's really extraordinary about it is if you look at her poll numbers in the past, they were always low. Democrats behind closed doors said that, if Biden is to go, she can't be the person to replace him because of all the weakness that they feared would come to light. Now, what's happened since Harris has been coronated is she's enjoyed this extraordinary good run. And I'd say two things. I'd say number one, I think the good run is down in some respects to the seeming meltdown that Donald Trump has had, because I think he's so incandescent, number one, that he's not running against Joe Biden anymore. And number two, that he was talked into a very bad decision in selecting J.D. Vance to be his running mate. But the issue now becomes, and Kamala Harris, the other thing that needs to be said is there's no denying that she has been given very, very favorable treatment by the United States media. Now, I suspect that favorable treatment will cease very quickly if she doesn't sit down for an interview, or should I say interviews, with multiple mainstream American media outlets, because she hasn't uttered really an unscripted word since she has been chosen. So, yes, they're in a very good place right now. Democrats have, the dynamics of this race have changed altogether. But whether she can continue in this regard is an open question. And I would still regard, despite all Trump's failings, which I think have been manifest in recent weeks, this is still going to be a very, very close election. And the thing I keep saying is Kamala Harris has been in the background very much as vice president. We are soon going to find out exactly what she's made of.
Cal, it seems that Kamala has energized a constituency which was dormant, and that is women. Women, 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 and especially young women, and especially young women of colour, who had no real interest in voting for, in inverted commas, just the other old man. But she has energized this group. Would you agree?
Well, look, when you talk about women, it's not all women think alike. I hate to be breaking news to you. There are a lot of women who don't like Kamala Harris, who are not pro-abortion, who are concerned about inflation and their price of groceries. There was an interview last week on Fox News by three people in New York City, heavily Democratic. One woman said that she had to work two and a part-time job just to make ends meet. Another guy said he knew friends that were doubling up because they couldn't afford the rent on their own. And a third guy said he wanted to buy a new house, young guy, but he couldn't afford it because of the high mortgage rates. So the reporter asked them all, well, who are you going to vote for in November? And they all said, the Democrat. It doesn't make any sense. So you have people on both sides who are locked in. And Larry is correct. It's just going to be a very close election, with a small group of people deciding it. But this whole thing about Trump running down the country is terrible, whatever. This is not the Ronald Reagan city on a hill. Our best years are ahead. We can do this. We're Americans. We're number one, as the foam fingers say at the football games. There's none of that. You don't get votes by running down your country. And it's very sad to watch.
Getting lots of texts in, and people want to know, talk turkey here. Who's going to win this election? And the reason they're saying this is because clearly the polls have changed in the last 17 days. If you had asked any recognized pollster 17 days ago, everybody would have called it for Trump. Mm-hmm. Pretty much everybody now is calling it either a toss-up or Kamala Harris, even in the seven swing states. Frank Luntz, he's a respected pollster who I'm sure you know, is openly calling it for Kamala Harris at this stage. And if he says, if it goes beyond Labor Day like this, it's practically over. What do you think? And then I'll ask Larry as well. What do you think, Cal?
Well, she's going to get another bounce next week from the Democratic National Convention in Chicago. That always happens. It happened to Trump after the Republican National Convention. But a lot will depend on the demonstrations. You may remember, if you're old enough, or you may have read about it, the 1968 demonstrations in Chicago that really flipped the election from Hubert Humphrey to Richard Nixon and got him elected president in 68. Could that happen again? Well, we don't know. But we have a lot of people who are against what's happening in Gaza who claim they're going to turn out and protest. You've already seen people showing up at Kamala Harris rallies with their little chants about murderous Israelis and her supporting Israel in the killing of supposedly innocent Palestinians. So anything can happen. Polls come and go. This is August. Yes, she has a slight lead in some areas and tied in the swing states. But a lot can happen. And as was suggested earlier, if, in fact, she sits down and has some real interviews and people ask her what she really believes and why she shouldn't be tied to the Biden record that has produced inflation and high mortgage rates and other things, then we'll see how those polls look after that.
Larry, polls come and go, but they don't really, do they? Because when you're seeing poll after poll after poll indicating the same trend and all moving in the same direction, then it's looking to spell out only one thing at the moment, isn't it?
Well, it certainly looks very favorable for Kamala Harris right now. But I mean, just a few weeks ago, it looked very favorable for Donald Trump. Harris, despite having been vice president, is in many ways an untested quantity. We don't know, again, what she's made of. So, I have all due respect for Frank Luntz. But I think anyone who's calling this race definitively one way or another, either when Trump was riding high or right now, is very, very foolish. An awful lot can happen between now and November. What I am sure about is that this is going to be a close race. Yes, it is going to come down to those battleground states. And it really, at the end of the day, in my view, is going to be a case of, can Harris make the case to enough people that they need to vote for her, not just against Trump on the one hand? And the second question is, can Trump get out of his own way and stop trying to relitigate the 2020 election or start talking about how many people are at her rallies, things that are totally immaterial to the people who are going to decide this election? If he gets the race back on immigration and inflation, then, and again, because of the Electoral College dynamics, he certainly has a very good chance of winning this. But right now, you have to wonder, and I'm sure lots of Republicans, including those who like Donald Trump, are saying, what the hell is this guy doing right now?
Cal, Donald Trump is not going to get out of his own way, is he? You don't believe that. He never has and he never will. From let Trump be Trump to I'll do it my way, he is the commander-in-chief. He's the CEO of Donald Trump Inc. Nobody tells him what to do. He's not going to change now, is he, Cal?
Well, no, and I don't think so. And I think the question you asked me earlier, is he a sociopath? That can be debatable, but he's certainly a narcissist. It's always about him. It's about his crowd sizes. When he had his TV show, it was about his ratings. He belittled little Marco Rubio, the senator from Florida, during the 2016 debate. It's all about size and crowds and the rest. It's not about America. A presidential candidate ought to be telling voters, if you vote for me, here is what I'm not only going to do for you, but here's what I'm going to allow you to do for yourself. You know, I keep going back to John Kennedy's great line in his inaugural address in 1961, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. I'm not sure Kennedy's ideology could get him elected in today's Democrat Party, but if Washington was the solution to our problems, the problems would have been solved by now. But as Reagan used to say, Washington isn't the solution, or government is not the solution. Government's the problem. $35 trillion debt. We can't go on like that.
Trump seems to be living still in a world where he's running against Joe Biden. I mean, he can't seem to adjust or pivot to the idea that this Kamala Harris person has happened. He still doesn't seem to be able to address. It's like a dinosaur who can't move from the right to the left very quickly. You know what I mean? So the question is, though, he did say something and has been harping on about Joe Biden recently, that it was a coup, right? Now, obviously, that's complete hyperbole and, you know, to all intents and purposes, nonsense. But let's discuss it a little further, Cal. I mean, do you think that Joe Biden was forced out?
Oh, I don't think there's any question. Just like Nixon was forced out in 1974, had a delegation go to the White House and said, Mr. President, you're not going to be able to survive an impeachment vote, and so he resigned. You'll notice that in that interview that Bob Costa did with President Biden, the only name that he mentioned, other than Trump, I think, was Nancy Pelosi. Nobody in the Democratic Party makes a move without the approval of Nancy Pelosi. Even though she's no longer Speaker, she raises more money than any other Democrat, maybe not Kamala Harris now, but certainly has in the past. and she wields an enormous amount of power. I don't think there's any question that she was part of this cabal. I wouldn't call it a coup, but a cabal to get Biden to step aside. He was saying just 3 or 4 weeks ago that I'm in it to win it. I'm going to stay in. I'm not resigning. And then the delegation goes of top Democrats, and he's out of there.
Larry.
I mean, you got to go ahead.
Yeah, sorry. Thanks, Cal. Larry, finally, just and briefly, if you can. I mean, Joe Biden is going to speak at the Democratic National Convention. Isn't that going to be the weirdest speech of all time, in a sense, that he stands there without really the official seal of the presidency? He stands there almost as a kind of a support act to Kamala Harris, and not even to Kamala Harris. He stands as a support act to Governor Waltz as well. He's like VP of the VP of the VP. He's really weak looking, do you think, at that Democratic National Convention?
Yeah, it is. It is going to be odd. It is going to be his great farewell. They will try to build it up. But I would say just a couple things very quickly. I think, yes, Cal is absolutely right. Nancy Pelosi orchestrated very much of this. She won't be getting a Christmas card from the Bidens anytime soon. And look, I think that, you know, the Democrats, yes, they, as Cal says, they should get a bounce out of this convention. But I would caution, I'm looking at the speaker list so far, and it's Biden, it's the Clintons, it's Obama. I'm sure they will, but they also need to showcase the next generation of leadership, because that provides them with a significant advantage against, as we've all been talking about, a Donald Trump who seems to be flailing away at the moment.
Okay, well, we'll leave it there. My special thanks to Cal Thomas, nationally syndicated US columnist, and of course, Larry, law lecturer at University of Galway and political columnist with thejournal.ie. Thank you both very much, gentlemen, for joining me.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper, weekdays from 4:30. Today.